Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, so you get some credit, but that's not the best one.
Well, for next year it will be, because it'll be SB 56.
You want to hear one of the best liners? And we were telling the I had a Michael Buffer story. So Michael Buffer did Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
Yep.
He did it for me. And this was before I knew Bruce. And we played it, and that was back when ESPN had that disc. You're probably too young to remember it. But on the disc it was Michael Buffer saying, Let's Get Ready to Rumble. And radio stations would use the disc. And then they would sue them because you can't use, I mean, it's trademark material.
Right.
It's like me using your photo. And when I did the van with all the fighters, I got permission and all that stuff. So I played it. And Bruce is like, you can't use it. Yes, I can. Blah, 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 blah. Is it worth it? My radio station says, you know, you have 5,000 liners. Do you really need it? No, I don't. But if back at the station, if you can just pull the Sheriff Chronister liner so we can play this for Johnny. This is one of my favorite. Stalling, giving them time to do it. But Matt got it at the Super Bowl last year. And if you can't, we can do it later. Just let me know, you know, via the thing. Are you a other sports stuff? Are you a football guy? Will you watch on Sunday? Do you care?
I'll watch on Sunday. It's kind of cool. It's a big deal for my dad, actually. I don't know how my dad became a Buccaneers fan living in Northwest Ohio, but he chose Tampa Bay as his team in the 70s when their expansion team, they first came in the league. My dad chose, he's a Tampa Bay fan. So it's really big for him that he gets to, you know, be here, obviously, to watch me fight, but it's Super Bowl weekend, his team's in it, in their city. It's really cool. I watched less football this year than I ever have.
Me too.
I still watch. I'll definitely watch the Super Bowl. I mean, who doesn't watch the Super Bowl? I mean, that's going to be a big game. But no, my life is pretty much combat sports. I mean, it's MMA and boxing and obviously bare knuckle and whatever I do. I run a gym. We've got lots of fighters out of there. We've got lots of people out of there. I mean, I've got 700 members in my gym, but 30 or 40 of them may compete, you know. So it's like fitness classes. I got kids' classes. I got all that. But
and when did you open that? That's recent, right? In the last year or so?
Well, we've been open. 2020 was a good year for business for me. We opened our doors January 2nd, 2010. So we've been 11 years now. Oh. But a lot of things happened. The pandemic hit. We were able to open a second location 25 miles away from our headquarters. That's doing phenomenal. And then my headquarters gym, we had, you know, a couple other gyms around us. Obviously, we're in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. It's busy there. Things lined up, and I was able to capitalize on this pandemic. I bought out three other gyms.
Wow.
And we moved them into a 12,000 square foot facility. It's a former fitness center. I've got men and women's locker rooms with showers. I've got two mat areas, huge mat areas. I've got a full-size cage, full-size boxing ring, a bag rack that holds 40 bags for fitness classes. I had a home run through this pandemic. It didn't stop us from making moves business-wise. And once this stuff passes, it's only going to get better, because we just broke 700 members during a pandemic.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's crazy.
Congrats.
That's
good
awesome.
Job. Is it difficult to separate, you know, old fat people like me that just want to come and have a good time and train, you know, and the fighters? Because a lot of times you go into a gym and you're kind of scared away because there's a brutal guy over there in the corner. Yep. And you're like, I don't want any part of that.
We do a good job of keeping separate, you know, and the separate mat areas definitely helps, because I can run like a fight team practice kind of in the back room, and, you know, the housewives that are there doing kickboxing don't need to see the guys getting bloody noses and whatever else is going on, you know. But no, it works really, really well for us. I mean, I teach 22 classes a week-ish, 20 classes a week, we'll call it. Six of those classes are with six-year-old little girls in it doing jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? I've got an eight-year-old daughter who trains 3 days a week. My stepdaughter's nine. She trains 3 days a week.
You should see his daughter.
Yeah.
It's scary.
My six-year-old's a beast.
Dude.
She's a monster.
And it's the greatest thing you can do as a father is put your daughter in jiu-jitsu, man. Because, yeah. Yeah. So we've got everybody. I've got 75-year-old ladies who come to boxing class 4 days a week. They don't miss it. So, I mean, it's really cool that – because if you just want to train fighters, if you want to own a fight gym, good luck.
Right.
You're going to be broke.
Yeah.
You're going to be broke because, first of all, they're 22-year-old men don't have money. They're the first ones whose credit card declines on the first of the month. When, you know what I mean? You need the kids. People spend money on their kids. You need the people that are there for fitness goals. And like I said, we're 90% non-competitive. But I think why we have success is because we have good coaches. We have credibility with it. And, you know, you go to 9 round or something, and you get some personal trainer teaching you a boxing class, where you go to Fitness Fight Factory, my gym, you've got a world champion, or you've right. got professional fighters at least that are teaching you. And yeah, those ladies aren't there to become a professional fighter, but they're also learning a skill and they're having fun. It's not just aerobic kickboxing where it's just there to sweat. When you're actually getting better and being coached and all that thing, I think that's why we're successful, because people buy into it. Doesn't matter what you do for your day-to-day life. You know, you want to work out. People struggle going to 24-hour fitness or something and figuring out what they want to do. You come to our gym, we're going to motivate you. There's an instructor that's going to walk around and make sure you're doing things correctly, but also pushing you. And, you know, and I think you just get a lot more out of it.
Talk to me, because I struggle with this, mm-hmm. you know, so I've always wanted to ask somebody that I respect, because a gym owner can tell me anything, but I struggle with, and you know this, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old with a black belt. You know, give me your thoughts on that, because it bothers me a little bit. You know, I've been in the gym. I know what it takes to get a black belt. And then you see a 12-year-old with a black belt. I think my nephew has a black belt.
It's and I think it separates the different martial arts. And I think the only martial art we do with belt rank at our gym is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I think Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has separated itself from the Taekwondos and the Karates. And there's no knock on that, but I struggle with it as well. How can you tell me that a 9-year-old has mastered your sport?
Exactly.
Like, what are you kidding? Like, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, luckily, the IBJJF has set up foundations. I mean, you can't even get an adult blue belt until you're 16 years old. The kids have their own ranks. So the highest you can get as a kid is a green belt. You know, they go white, gray, yellow, orange, green. Now, there's 3 belts to each one of those, because these kids aren't waiting 4 years for a belt. You know what I mean? But You got to motivate them somewhat. But I think that's what Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has done better than all other martial arts, is they've understand the practicality of it. That because little Jimmy can break a board with his foot doesn't mean he's a black belt. Can he really defend himself? Can he really?
Right.
I struggle with it. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is awesome because it's real. I mean, we're not giving little kids black belts. It's you're not allowed to, but I'm behind it. Yeah, right. I struggle with that
good.
Often.
Because we've talked about it before.
It's ridiculous.
Just the self-esteem, though, that sending a young child, you know, into a gym like that, you know, whether it's your daughter's mat or, you know, my grandkids that, you know, that go, it's just, I've seen a difference. And they've only been going for, what, 9 months? And it's just, I think that and the lessons you learn in a gym are so valuable.
I agree 100%. I think it's the greatest things for kids. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu not only going to, you know, give them confidence and teach them how to defend themselves, but there's a lot to be said about these one-on-one sports. You know, these kids go out and compete. All your successes, but all your failures are based on you. It's not, we lost because that guy dropped the ball or that guy missed the shot or whatever. No, it's on you, bro. Like you won or you lost, and that responsibility lies on you, and you have to learn. You learn a lot about yourself in that, you know, when you're like, again, it's great when all your success is on you, but when you lose and there's no one to point a finger at, it teaches you a lot about life.
Well, I would take it a step further and say the fact that most of the problems we have in society is because no one's ever been tested or no one's ever been put in a situation where Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you are forced to tap or your ego is checked quickly. And so I think a lot of people talk big because they've never actually been in a situation where they had to be humbled. Right. And a lot of, I mean, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu changes you as a person. When someone else has the authority or the power and they choose what happens to you next, either have mercy or not, right? It changes your actions, how you act as a human in the streets, in the world. And I think the world would be a better place if more people practice the art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in your gym or across the globe.
I couldn't agree more. I think like you hit the nail on the head with the word humble. You know, you'll get humbled. You show up at the gym. I don't care how big and strong you are. I don't care what your muscles look like. I've got 130-pound guys that are going to strangle you. I promise you. And, you know, and that's humbling. And the great ones are the ones that the people that buy into it are the ones that come back and they're okay with, you know, no one's getting hurt, but you get strangled. You're like, whoa, if this was life and death, I lose. You know what I mean? Like, I lose.
And it takes a special person, and you know this, to be humbled, 100%. You know, to allow themselves to be humbled. And I'll tell this story real quick. Randy Couture came to town, and I brought him to the gym that I used to train at. David Vieira, he went on the Ultimate Fighter down in Brazil. And I'm driving Randy and his ex-wife now back to the hotel, and Randy goes, you know your guy had me, right? I go, what do you mean? He said, no, he had me, and he let it go. And which he was very humbled by it.
Absolutely.
You know, he said, I expected it. I went back and I said, David, what the heck happened? He goes, I would never disrespect him that way. And then he literally beat up his assistant for trying to tap out Randy. So it's just a silly little circle, you know, of whatever. What do you do? And I'm asking for a reason. The night before a fight, are you resting? Do you want to like go out and, you know, be busy? What do you want to do this Thursday?
Thursday before the fight will be mostly Thursday night is pretty easy because you get done with weigh-ins and your whole goal is just rehydration and obviously you just made weight, so you're not in your best mindset. Mindset's fine, you know. Making weight is probably the hardest part people don't understand about combat sports. But Thursday night I'll be focused on rehydrating, getting carb up, all that stuff, and then, you know, family will get in town. I think the answer to your question a little bit better is, what do you do all day Friday? And I think that's what separates the greats from the beginners or the amateurs, whatever you want to call it, because that's where you've got to understand the emotional side of it, the mental side of it. If, you know, I guess I could tell a story. I had a guy a year ago make his amateur debut, and I was unfortunately out of town cornering Friday night, and he fought in the town we lived in Dallas on Saturday. So I didn't get back until Saturday, right before his fight at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I pulled in and he's already at the venue waiting on me. I'm like, how you feel, man? And this guy's, I mean, he's a stud athlete. And he's all jacked up. Like, oh, I'm ready, coach. I can't wait. And I said, that's a freaking problem. Because you've been in your apartment all day by yourself, shadow boxing at me, or thinking about how all your coworkers are coming, your mom's coming, your girlfriend's coming. You're putting all these external pressures on yourself that you can't control. You've zapped your gas tank. You have no emotional energy left. And I hit the nail on the head because he went out there, and after the first round, the dude was dead. And he's like, I trained hard. Like, I don't understand it. I said, I know where we're at. Yeah. We're going to be okay. You just got to show me your guts now, buddy, because you don't have no guts, or you don't have no gas, but you've got it. We've got two rounds left. Now, luckily, you went out there and you got to finish in the second round, because I don't know if we'd have made it three. But you've got to know how to, you can't sit there and be at all nervous energy and be shadow boxed all day and jacked up if you're not fighting until 9 o'clock at night. Right. What are you doing at 9 a.m. worried about it? So Friday morning, I'll wake up, we'll have breakfast, I'll hydrate. But I'll go see the city. I'll take some time and I'll get my mind off the fight as much as I can. I'm certainly not going to be sitting in my room all jacked up, shadow boxing and pacing for 8 hours.
How many family members will you have Friday morning?
Well, I sold 3 tables on front row, so that's 18 for sure coming. And then I'll have a bunch of people from my gym and everyone else is buying like general admission up in the bleacher seating.
So who do you want to hang out with Friday morning? How many, you know, family?
Yeah, it'll be.
You know where I'm going, right?
Yeah. No. Friday morning, who will I be hanging out with? I'll be hanging out with probably my parents because they're coming in from Ohio for sure. My girlfriend will be here, soon to be fiance wife. She's not listening, so we can talk that.
She's got a surprise. What hasn't happened yet?
She's got a surprise coming. She knows we're getting married. We've talked about it, but she. The plan is she'll be getting a ring this weekend while we're in Tampa. So that'll be fun for the both of us. But, Friday I'll just be with my close family and we'll be chilling out. And
I think we'll send a limo.
We'll do it.
Yeah. I think we'll send a limo.
Okay.
You know, you can, you know, have the limo, they'll drive you around, you know, put the parents, put the girlfriend and all that kind of stuff. Before we, hit the break, I'm assuming your coach is outside and
Didn't get in. That's okay.
Okay. Well, we need to hit this break. Do you want to hang out a little bit or do you want to go?
Okay. You guys want.
Then let's go hit a break. We're going to put Mike on, then we'll put you back on after that if that's cool, and we can hang out and talk. Coming to you live from the Tampa Convention Center, and there's an event that he has involved, and unfortunately it's Thursday night. That's where I was going with that. But we'll talk about that with Mike Dempsey when we return. Coming to you live from the Tampa Convention Center, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, and if you don't listen to Knockout Radio, you may just find yourself in one of my jails.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The biggest bare knuckle event ever, Knuckle Mania. Friday, February 5th, live on pay-per-view. Featuring the highly anticipated debut of Paige VanZant against bare knuckle veteran Britton Hart. Plus, brutal Johnny Bedford defends his 135-pound title against the undefeated Dat Nguyen. And Chris the Crippler Lieben returns to face Quentin Henry. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship presents Knuckle Mania. Friday, February 5th, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Join us on February 14th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Sarasota Polo Club for the Sport of Kings in the exclusive Polo Clubhouse. As a VIP, you'll enjoy an open bar, great food, VIP parking, a VIP gift bag, and much, much more. Go to festivalsofspeed.com for more info, directions, and how to purchase your VIP tickets. What a unique way to spend Valentine's Day and make this day a day you will never forget.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Boomer Esiason, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. So stay right there.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Radio Row. Well, sort of Radio Row.
And you said we wouldn't have any live guests today, and here we are, full of them. Like the only radio show with live guests. What's going on over here, Randy Harris?
We just thought Johnny Bedford was going to come back in 15 minutes. He's back already. He has the headset.
He's
so,
not going. Well,
where did it go? Here. Here's the headset.
Oh, there you go.
I was hooking you up there. Let me go. Put it on real quick. All right.
I am back.
Put him in, coach. All right. So you were here before me this morning as I was grabbing breakfast, and you ran into Mike.
Mike Dempsey.
And you don't tell stories very well. You don't give press releases very well.
I do not.
You did not tell me that Mike is fighting Cooney. You said Mike was doing this event. Mike, what's up?
Yeah, well, Jerry's a good friend of mine.
And when I say what's up, I mean what's up.
Yeah, yeah. I must be a little crazy to be getting in a ring with Jerry Cooney, but
tell me about this.
You know, I've known Jerry for about 10, 15 years through various charity events, and one of his causes is called YCS, Youth Consultation Services. They're in Central New Jersey. They help underprivileged kids, and Jerry's like a mentor to these kids, getting them off the streets, into the gym, teaching them life skills. And you know, Jerry and I have been part of helping him over the years, fundraising. And we decided, I said, what better cool thing, since Jerry hadn't been in the ring. I think his last fight was against George Foreman, didn't end up too well for Jerry. Although George did tell me that Jerry threw, it was the hardest punch he said he ever had in his career, which is saying a lot for George Foreman, who had been in some wars with Muhammad Ali and other guys. But I just said, why not raise some money? You got a guy with the last name Dempsey, you know, no real relation to Jack. But I said, we can call me Baby Jack. And I'm using that kind of, you need like a wrestling kind of, you know. So I said, let's hype it up. And all of a sudden it became serious. We were doing this at a Mark Wahlberg charity event. This was December of 2019, 3 months before the pandemic. And we were supposed to have it last June, and we were all ready to go for this event. And, of course, the pandemic hit. You know, as I just said before, back a year ago, or March of 2020, I was down here training with the Antonio Magic Man Tarver. And Tarver was giving me some pointers and getting this 49, soon to be 50-year-old guy in the ring. I hadn't been in a ring. I trained up in upstate New York after my football dreams ended. I had done a little bit of amateur boxing, a guy named Bob Miller and Teddy Atlas and some of those guys up there. You know Teddy Atlas, obviously. And wasn't very good. Let's just say I was 1 win and 3 losses, 1 by disqualification for spitting my mouthpiece out a couple times. And that was another. So I didn't have a great memory of the amateur boxing days up in upstate New York. So this gives me a chance to get back and learn the sport the right way and do something with Jerry, one of my all-time idols. We're friends, but obviously I still have a lot of admiration for what he accomplished in the ring, and we're going to raise a lot of money. We have Dwight Gooden, we have Johnny Damon in my corner, Larry Holmes is going to be in Jerry's corner. I'm surprised. I thought Larry and Jerry, you know, but actually they do love each other. They're like the best of buddies. So Larry's going to be in Jerry's corner for the match. Iran Barkley, I got the Blade helping me out as well, and he's one of my good friends. Vinny Paz, he's a character, so I don't know. We don't know what Vinny's going to do fight night. He might even get in a ring, be my stunt double.
Yeah,
he might get in a ring.
Now, let me ask you this. This is a charity event.
Yep.
So is it an exhibition?
It's an exhibition.
So it's going to be an exhibition.
We hope he doesn't hurt me. I mean,
Or you don't hurt him.
Yeah, well, the truth of the matter is, I don't know if I can, I'm not getting there trying to throw uppercuts on his fight night. But you know what? It's not like professional wrestling. You guys are in a fight game. You know, there's nothing really scripted when you're in a ring, and you got to make it look. So it's a real exhibition. Now, I just want to go to 3 rounds. I don't know if we're scoring points or.
It's your event. It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be a fun. I mean, hopefully, I always tease. I said, Jerry, you may have to carry an old guy like me. But you know what? You never know what happens. Mickey Ward has been training me. I was up in Massachusetts. I feel like I took off about 35 pounds. I don't know why I lose all that weight to fight a guy who's 260 pounds, but. The idea is to really learn the game and breathing, you know, all the stuff I'm learning from guys like Tarver, especially Mickey Ward, on how to breathe and all those inside things. You just can't learn that from a textbook. And Teddy Atlas has been helping me on footwork and things like that, that I just haven't get a guy like at my age who's taken a layoff for like 27 years, get back in the ring. I've come a long way. Now the idea is to 4 more months of training. I'm going to have a fun time, hopefully, and get some really, really big objective is to get money raised to help these kids. But honestly, bucket list, this is pretty cool. I'll be Jerry Cooney's last opponent. Let's just say, who knows if he goes out on a winning note or if I just survive. If I survive, I won. It's like Rocky, the original Rocky. I just want to go to distance.
Now, Johnny, the only advice that I could give Mike is what to eat. But what advice could you give him as he gets ready to get back into the squared circle?
That's true. Randy is undefeated in buffets.
Have fun. Yeah. I mean, the truth is just have fun with it, man. You start putting pressures on yourself, it'll kill your performance. Yeah. You got to have fun. Middle of my world title fight, my coach, who's sitting outside right now, after the round, he told me to have
fun. Did he have his driver's license with him?
He did. He still didn't get in. I didn't have one. I got in, but he didn't. But just have fun, you know. Don't. You can't let external pressures
I don't know if you're married or not, but your your family's going to be there, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Who gives a shit, right?
Just gives us stuff. Gives us stuff.
Yeah, it's all good.
Here's what I'm going to recommend, and I'm surprised you didn't jump on this, and with him being a bare-knuckle fighter. After round one, pull the Hulk Hogan from Rocky Balboa, rip your gloves off, and then just fight him bare-knuckle.
Well,
right?
I was friends with a professional wrestler named Roddy Piper, and Roddy's thing was, and he was a boxer back in the day, Roddy, but he used to do the old eye poke, and I said, you know, if anything gets tight in a ring, I just do the old poke in the eye, and maybe that'll get me through that second, third round. But no, I mean, it'd be a fun, Jerry, you know, he's trained me, actually, and I've seen what he has to, hey, he's 65 this year, and he still can... He's still around these guys. You don't lose that, as you know. You know, you don't lose that those skills. And he's been around the game training fighters. And I know it's not a guy who hasn't fought in 30 years. He's still very active and in great shape. So I think it's going to be he's going to surprise a lot of people. I hope I surprise a lot of people on fight night.
I didn't know if you wanted to bring her up.
Yeah, I mean, Ariel, which is Roddy Piper's daughter.
She's done our show a couple of times.
Yeah, Ariel. Yeah, I know. I met her,
Ariel.
Colton as well. His son.
Got engaged to Michael Anderson, who goes by Deimos, a professional wrestler. They come to the show. They're great friends of mine and ours as well.
How do people get information? How do they get tickets? How can they donate? Yeah. You know, which is the main cause of
absolutely.
Doing
it's www.ycs.org, and that's the, again, Youth Consultation Services. The website takes you to the fight night, and if you can't make it there in person in Hoboken, just to donate and support these underprivileged kids. Again, we got some really special guys, the Sopranos, a lot of those guys are coming out to the fight as well. So we're excited. Vinny Pastore, a lot of these guys that just love to be around. Jerry attracts a lot of like star caliber guys because that's who he is.
I hear a little bird that I'm making up in the back of my mind. I think Knockout Radio might be there too.
Oh,
I think we might have to.
Absolutely.
And last year at the Super Bowl, Carlos Bakery was in attendance at the Taste of NFL. So they're from Hoboken.
Yeah.
Carlos. Are you are they affiliated with this in any way? Or?
Yeah, we're hoping. You know, I met him through Mariano Rivera, former New York Yankee.
Yeah, we've heard of him.
Yeah, you've heard. Good guy. But he is. He did the pastries and the cake and the cookies for our first golf outing.
Okay.
So, but I don't want to eat that stuff until after fight
buddy,
night because I'll be.
You won't make weight with Buddy around.
I won't make weight. I won't.
Before we run out of time, talk about Dad's and Daughter's Show.
Yeah, it's my daughter, Kelly. She's got special needs, Asperger's. And the idea is to create a platform to show her abilities beyond disabilities, give her, it's on a network where we have a lot of special need related guests and hosts. And we have, you know, great people on it, like Jerry Cooney's been on there. Johnny Damon's a frequent guest, Nick Swisher. But it's not about the celebrities. It's about what they bring to the table with philanthropy and really people donate and support special need causes. And that's what I'm all about. Team Mickey Ward Charities. He helps out in his community. A lot of people. Mickey wasn't just a champion in the ring. He's a champion outside the ring. So we want to focus on those stories and focusing on great stories of a Down syndrome kid who has now created a coffee shop and or a kid who opened up an ice cream shop in Alabama who's just taking it to the next level and promoting. That's what it's all about. And I think, you know, resiliency, you know, I try to bring that message about what I've been through. Obviously, if you guys didn't know my other story with the 9/11, I was a 9/11 survivor. I was out there in Vegas during the Mandalay Bay shooting as well.
One of my closest friends was running that in Vegas.
Yeah.
Greg Hendrick was running that whole show, and I still hear stories.
Yeah.
It's mad and amazing.
Yeah, I was out there that weekend. I was filming a show called Tanked on Animal Planet with my friend Brett Raymer, one of my good buddies, and just happened to be in, I guess, the wrong place at the wrong time. I didn't know anything about country music, so I had no idea what Route 91 even was. I couldn't hear from where the hotel was, believe it or not. Didn't even hear the music. Just happened to be outside. The next morning, I was going to Scott Baio's golf outing in L.A. That's all I was focused on, was getting ready for the next event. And then the whole life, I mean, what I witnessed and just the lockdown and all that stuff. Really tough, you know, especially with social media blowing it up that night to make it look like it was even worse than it was. I kept hearing it was mass, like thousands of people shot. I mean, the social media was out of control that night and a lot of false news going on and just very traumatic and, you know, something. But I'm trying to pay it back by helping charities. And I have a 9/11 charity. We help other communities like Parkland with what they went through. bringing people together. So as I'm supporting Jerry, he's been very supportive of what I do. And, you know, in charity world, we reciprocate. We help each other. Sure. So I go to Jerry's event, he comes to mine, and there'll be another event. You know, I saw Chuck Liddell. We were talking about that. Chuck was at Charity Day last year up in New York and put me in a headlock and didn't break my neck, thank God. But, you know, it's just great. We all support each other and trying to give back and pay it forward.
So, Mike, maybe you can answer the question. We had a who wore it better, Chuck Liddell Mohawk or the Red Mohawk?
You got the Red Mohawk going
that's
pretty good.
That's what I was thinking.
But,
we cannot be friends.
We're 1-1.
I don't want to piss off Chuck, because Chuck will exactly. Like, he put me in a headlock, and I thought he was going to snap my neck, but no.
If there's anything that we can do or I can do to help with anything that you're doing, or but especially your podcast, my goddaughter, also my niece, has Asperger's. Yep. And I had to even call my daughter to make sure I say this right. She's getting her master's in applied behavior analysis with an emphasis in autism.
That's great.
That's what she's doing now.
Yeah. My daughter's very involved in the UNC, University of North Carolina. We're getting a lot of help through their programs. I do an Autism Dads Conference. I had Joe Mantegna, who was part of it a few weeks ago, the actor. Mm-hmm. We're trying to promote and bring a lot of dads who have kids with Asperger's autism together to show Doug Flutie, who I'm going to be with tomorrow at the Johnny Damon event. Doug's story. There's just so many of us out there. Sure. Bring the community together to help each other.
Like what you and I went through.
Yeah.
As well. So there is a whole lot. Is there a website? How can people get more information?
Well, the best way to social media, Facebook Live is how we do the show. We also have Cablevision up in New York. We have other Bronx Net, a lot of other channels. But on Facebook Live, it's the Dads and Daughters Show. It's on this great network called The Chapters Wrap with Steve Vaccaro. And we have other related shows that have a lot of great themes as well on the network. But for the Dads and Daughters Show, every week we bring a lot of great stories to the forefront. It's Sunday, 6 p.m., but it's on all week. So if you want to catch a prior episode, go to that page, and you see we've had a lot of cool. We had Mickey Ward, Johnny Damon. We just have Jerry Cooney. We had James Bone Crusher Smith, a great friend of mine in North Carolina. We had the Bone Crusher on, and just a lot of good. But really what they bring to the table in terms of what they're doing today, I do like to slip in about their fights from 30 years ago, but we like to talk about a lot of the causes they're supporting, and that's what the show is all about.
Very good stuff. Mike, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Anything that we can do, count us in. Let's go hit another break, coming to you live from Radio Row here at the Tampa Convention Center. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Keenan McCardell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The biggest bare knuckle event ever, Knuckle Mania. Friday, February 5th, live on pay-per-view. Featuring the highly anticipated debut of Paige VanZant against bare knuckle veteran Britton Hart. Plus, brutal Johnny Bedford defends his 135-pound title against the undefeated Dat Nguyen. And Chris the Crippler Lieben returns to face Quentin Henry. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship presents Knuckle Mania. Friday, February 5th, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Join us on February 14th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Sarasota Polo Club for the Sport of Kings in the exclusive Polo Clubhouse. As a VIP, you'll enjoy an open bar, great food, VIP parking, a VIP gift bag, and much, much more. Go to festivalsofspeed.com for more info, directions, and how to purchase your VIP tickets. What a unique way to spend Valentine's Day and make this day a day you will never forget.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, yo, this is Ricky Waters, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris.
From Tampa Convention Center, what are you looking at?
Well, I was wanting Johnny to join the conversation. We have four headsets. I don't really can't sit here and be part of the group. That's a detail.
Nah, he's still eating sandwiches.
That's a security detail. We got to bring him in.
He's got the sandwiches.
Make sure
down.
He's informed.
So before we get back to brutal Johnny Bedford, this is what I just came up with. To register to win the $50 gift certificate to Country Depot, all you need to do is go to their Facebook page and take a picture of any of the items that's in their store.
Oh.
Then post it on Twitter, send it to my Facebook. Pop it in the mail. Somehow just get that to me so that I know you went to the Facebook page and you will be registered to win a $50 gift certificate. Place is cool. You know, I don't drive across the street and I'm going to go back out there.
That's true. I usually drive you across the street. That's I know it's important.
That is very true. Johnny, so since I was wrong because I was given wrong information from Toolbag, when we go up there, June, whatever the date is, you should go up there with us.
I would love to. That sounds like a great event. That guy was cool. He's doing amazing things. I'd love to be a part of it.
You know, and he made a comment, and then I looked over at you about something that we had some ties with. You know, you don't know what anybody's going through. You don't know what's going on in the world. You only live in your own little bubble. So when that was said, you said something about somebody in your gym that's doing something pretty close, you know, to his story.
Yeah, not on the national level and what this guy's doing, right? But yeah, I've got a great young man. I won't call him a kid. He's 23 years old now, but a professional fighter. He's trained with me since he's been 9 years old. When I met him at 9 years old, I also met his, at the time, 8 year old, they're a year apart, brother who's autistic. And Devin, the older brother who trains with me still and works for me and everything, he's on this path to be a world champion in MMA. He's phenomenal. But during the process, once he started coaching, he became a young adult. It was important to him to give back. And he started a nonprofit called Choke Out Autism. And every Sunday they do a special needs jiu-jitsu class. It's free for anybody with special needs. There's some, you know, you've got kids there with Down syndrome. You've got other kids with autism on all, you know, all over the spectrum there. Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's really cool to see these kids who typically don't get to do jiu-jitsu or just any sports that normal kids get to do to give them an opportunity to just live a normal life and be a kid and get on the mats and wrestle, dude. To watch their face and watch the excitement they get, they come every Sunday ecstatic.
Let me ask you this. We're going to switch just for a second because you were talking about the young man that is a future champ. And is that putting too much pressure on somebody that early to say that? And I'm asking you for this reason. There was a former Tampa Bay Buccaneer
who, when he got drafted, they called him the next John Lynch. And he couldn't live up to the next John Lynch because John Lynch possibly will find out on Saturday if he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. And Sammy Piscitelli eventually, you know, left the NFL. Then he went to WWF, then whatever they're called, WWE. When you say that, is that good for somebody to, you know, I got to live up to that, or is it bad?
You're on a fine line there. That's a great question. Because I've seen it. I've seen it with him, and I've seen it with other young guys that I have full confidence in, and I try to speak it to let them know how confident I introduced him. He's going to be a world champion. That does put a lot of extra pressure on them, you know. And so it's a fine line for sure. I think they've got to believe it. You know, if everyone else is just telling them they're going to be a world champion, they've got to believe it too. You know. And the hardest part is that just because I say you're going to be a world champion doesn't mean you're going to be a world champion. You've got to put the work in.
Yeah, you got to go out and earn it.
You've got to earn it, right? And keeping these young guys motivated and in the gym and on that right path is not always easy. But we do a great job in my gym, and we've got a really good team of young guys that are going to make waves in the sport.
And it doesn't just apply to the fight game. I mean, in this off season, when we announced that we recruited Tom Brady to Tampa Bay, everybody just handed the Buccaneers the Lombardi Trophy, and they stumbled and they lost some games and they didn't get their chemistry right, and they had to put it in the work. And here they are in their hometown about to take part on the other side of the field against the defending champions at Super Bowl 55 right here in Tampa Bay.
If I have one more person ask me, if I see one more time on Facebook, people ask, will they shoot off the cannons on Sunday after a Buccaneer score? There's a pirate ship, you know, that's in the end zone. That goes off when the home team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, score regular season, you know, game 1 through 16 in the playoffs. I can't get people to understand Sunday, it is not the Tampa Bay Buccaneer Stadium. It's an NFL stadium.
It's a neutral site.
They take over. It's a neutral site, and this has never happened before. And people don't understand why the cannons will not go off.
Which will people not understand more? The Buccaneer cannons not going off because it's a neutral site, or what kind of gloves Joffy Bedford wears in bare knuckle boxing?
How many times do you get asked that? Because I still have. Well, I understand it's bare knuckle, but what kind of glove do they wear?
There's no glove.
Right.
It's obviously bare knuckle. So, yeah, the whole bare knuckle glove threw me for a loop for sure.
All right. Yeah. Another stupid question, and I hate asking him because that's normally his job.
It's my job.
His job's to ask these stupid questions. But do you ever get to a point where when you get punched, whether it's in the face or, you know, in the body or whatever, that it doesn't hurt?
It doesn't hurt in the moment. It hurts afterwards, I guess. But you're there to compete. And if you know, I've been punched in the face quite a few times over the years. So I want to say I've built up some tolerance for it.
Right.
But it's also, you know, heat of the moment. You're there to compete. You know, you know that guy's doing what just his goal is the same as yours. And that's to win a fight. And part of fighting is hurting each other. And I guess, you know, it takes a special person to be okay with that. But
my brother and I tell the story all the time. My brother and I got in a fist fight, well, numerous times growing up, and I still dislike him. You know, I still can't, you know, get by that. Does it matter to you whether you get along with the guy you're fighting or if it's somebody that you can't stand? Does it matter?
No, not on fighting. It doesn't matter. I'd say it matters a little bit more on, you know, maybe a little extra motivation and training when you don't like that guy. I can speak firsthandly on that one.
Recently,
this Friday night is going to be the best Johnny Bedford you've ever seen, and it's only because he brought that out of me. He's been he's had a big mouth. He's talked some smack, and
we call that ship.
Yeah,
SHIP. Ship
talking.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. Yeah. So, yeah, he motivated me, and I expect Friday to be my best performance yet. And with his ship talking that he did, I think he's going to regret it because he brought the best out of me.
So speaking of recovery, and now after your last fight in Tampa, you came to Tour de Pizza and you wrapped your hands in cold dough balls from Tour de Pizza, from my cooler. Other than that,
then he made pizza out of it.
What is your, what other things do you do for recovery after a fight that you are your go-to or staples?
It all depends on, obviously, the fight, like how busted up you get. Bare knuckle, the biggest thing that you see the difference is I think there's more cuts. So you've got to take care of that, you know. I'll go one step further. I think bare knuckle's safer. And that's what most people are like, whoa, how so? I think it's 100% safer than boxing or MMA. There's a lot more superficial damage. You're going to get cut up a little more, but you're not taking the brain damage that you do in boxing. And I think the way to explain that to the everyday people is boxing gloves were not invented to protect your head. They were invented to protect my hands, because guys would win fights and not be able to fight again, or fights were ending anticlimactically because I just can't go anymore because my hands are busted up. Knowing that, the truth is it's safer. You're not taking the big shots, because, I mean, I use the example that what I do with a roll of gauze and tape before these young guys go out and fight for my gym, it should borderline be illegal. They're almost in a cast where they'd go and punch a brick wall and have zero fear. And then I put a 4-ounce glove on him. I say, go, let's go kill this guy, you know, get him all motivated. And he's going to go out there with zero fear. Take those wraps and gloves off. He's not going to punch that brick wall. He's going to, you know what I mean? And it's the same thing. You start looping shots over the top, just trying to, we're talking about Chuck Liddell a minute ago, you know, he's just throwing that overhand right. You hit someone on top of the head, and you just busted your gun in a gunfight.
I've been arguing, which I tend to do a lot lately, you know, with MMA fans, you know, and that has been my background until, you know, BKFC and bare knuckle came back. But MMA fans kept constantly saying how much safer MMA is than boxing. Because of the glove. And then when bare knuckle came back, they're like, oh, this is safer than bare knuckle. Well, if MMA is safer than boxing, I'm sorry, I'm not the smartest man and, you know, the smartest crayon in the box. But if MMA is safer than boxing, then how can bare knuckle not be safer than MMA?
It's way safer. I mean, MMA, you're getting kicked, you're getting ground and pounded, you're getting kneed and elbowed and all those things, right? Where boxing or bare knuckle is just punches. And then it's, again, it's the science is coming out, and it's showing that the long-term damage, you know, you guys want to see me on Saturday. Like, I went to Tour de Pizza, I had stitches in my eyes and stuff, but that doesn't affect how I'm going to talk to my grandkids.
Right.
I'm not taking those big shots, or you see in boxing, they get knocked down and they lose their legs and they get an 8 count and stand back up and go get punched a bunch more. It's bad for the brain long-term. Where you don't take those big shots in bare knuckle. And I think that's why once the science gets out there and once people get educated on it, I think people understand. It's just, it looks crazy because it's bloody.
It's bloody.
And it's you're going to bleed because there's no padding there to stop that. That bone on bone is going to cut you up a little bit. But I'd argue with anybody that it's the safest combat sport there is.
How much longer do you want to do this? How much longer do you plan on doing this?
It's a great question. 5-0 now. I said earlier I'm going to be 10-0. I've got a couple more years left. I'm 38, so MMA I'd be considered an old man. But MMA's training camps are rough. You've got to wrestle. You've got to do jiu-jitsu. You've got to do cage work. You've got to do all these things. I've wrestled my entire life. I wrestled Division I in college. I started wrestling at 5 years old. I don't really want to wrestle anymore. It's exhausting. I don't want my neck pulled on. I want to have to get up from the bottom. Bare knuckle is 5 2-minute rounds. I have to worry about two hands. I don't have to worry about you taking me down. I don't have to worry about you choking me. I don't have to worry about you kicking me. I don't have to worry about, I think it's a sport that I can do for many more years to come.
Easier is probably not the right word, but it's the one I'm going to use. Is it easier to go from like MMA where it's 5-minute rounds? You know, now it is so much shorter, you know, and I'll be honest, and anybody who knows me, I'd much rather judge, because I judge MMA, I'd much rather judge an amateur fight than a pro fight because it's a shorter round.
Right.
Was it easier to transition because the rounds are so much shorter?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you got a 2-minute round, you get to kind of go full blast the whole time. You know, you're not out there trying to conserve energy. You start fighting 5-minute rounds like professional MMA, that 5 minutes is eternity. It's eternity. And now do 3 or 5 of them. My last MMA fight that I had, was 5 5-minute rounds. And, I've done a couple of those, and that's 25 minutes of exhaustion.
I was in London when Matt Hughes fought Carlos Newton, and I was hanging out with Matt and Pat and all them. And so we went to go work out, and I was a little rough on my son. I think you've met Sean.
Yep.
And Matt kind of got mad, and Matt and I are good friends. Matt's like, okay, now you and me. I go, you and me what? He goes, no, you and me are going to roll. I said, why? He goes, no, come on. So he mounted me, and everybody non-MMA thinks that's the funny. So he mounted me. He goes, okay, 5 minutes, go. I go, go where? He goes, you have 5 minutes to get out. And you're right. It's an eternity.
It's eternity. 5 minutes is it's the longest 5 minutes of your life.
That was.
Yep.
You know, so, it's one thing if somebody, you know, compatible to you, it's still 5 minutes is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the welterweight champion of the world, one of the baddest dudes on the planet.
Yes.
And I kind of joke this, and now's a good time to tell it, and then I know you got something to say, Matt. But, you know, and I have a list. It's not like where this is going to go. But, you know, we'll say, who's your favorite fighter? It's this. It's that. What has he done? Well, he's this. My favorite fighter got hit by a train, and he's still walking. It's kind of a joke, but it's not a joke. So here, Matt, before the train, sits on top of you for 5 minutes, try getting out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's Matt Hughes in his prime.
Yeah.
He said he's fighting Carlos Newton that day. So, yeah, he was defending that belt left and right back then. And I, yeah, as a media guy, you getting put underneath him, I feel bad for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
So, Johnny, I see you got your jug of water. We're obviously in fight week, so you're in the
cut. Where's the Diet Coke?
Okay. And so, A, have you ever missed weight in your career? And B, what is your stance on fighters who miss weight? Because let's be honest, you have one job, right? You're a professional fighter. Your job is to make weight and make your goal.
You're trying to throw me under the bus.
I'm just saying we have an issue on this program of fighters who miss weight. And what's your stance on it?
You have one job. I have unfortunately missed weight one time. It was my last MMA fight we were just talking about. And I hated myself for it. I paid him whatever he wanted. The fight went on. I was thankful for it. I'm friends with this guy to this day. I think, you know, it's something that I can live with. I'm not going to, you know, beat myself up forever. But I've got 60-some fights, and I've missed weight one time and one time only, and it just – things didn't go well for me, and that's not even a legitimate excuse in my opinion. You signed a contract to make a weight. Make the weight. I mean, it's – no one said it was easy. No, it's not easy. It's probably the worst part of fighting is making weight. And
why? Let me throw this out to you real quick, kind of so you don't have to, you Absolutely. Know, keep talking about it. But it's the same subject because we talk about it. I think the penalty should be more.
Agreed.
I mean, substantially more. Why do you athletes wait and cut it down to the last day, hour, 15 minutes? Not that you want to stay all depleted for a day.
And that you just hit the nail on the head, I think, with the word depleted. Because of MMA, combat sports, they give you that 24-hour minimum window to rehydrate. So you're going to have those guys that are going to cut extreme weight. And if you got guys that are cutting extreme weight, you know, they can't. I'll use myself as a prime example. You know, I typically walk around outside of camp at 158, 160 pounds, and I fight at 135. Now, I diet down for weeks and weeks and weeks. I've been in a camp. My weight is way lower than it is, but I can't just walk around at 135 pounds.
Sure.
So I want to weigh 135 pounds the least amount of times possible. Just so that I, you know, because you're going to dehydrate yourself to an extreme level to make this weight. You don't want to be dehydrated for days and days and days. You're just miserable. It's almost like guys have gotten smart. Like he mentioned my gallon of water that I've got next to me. I'm pounding water all day today. So that tomorrow, when the weight cut actually starts, I'm not dehydrated, sitting in a sauna for 20 minutes just trying to break a sweat. I'm still peeing. I'm still using the restroom. I'm still breaking sweats easy. There's a science to it. You water load so that, you know, when it's time to cut that last 10 pounds or whatever it is, you've got it there. If you've been eating like a bird and not drinking water all week just to kind of lose a pound a day or something, you're going to have no energy when it comes the day before weigh-ins to motivation or anything to right. get in a sauna or to get on a said treadmill. You're weak, you're miserable. So I think the goal is to be dehydrated, depleted the least amount of time as possible, and then get it right back on as soon as you can.
Only about 90 seconds left. Not that I don't want to end it on BKFC and what's going down on Friday, but where's this love or affection for the Detroit Tigers?
Born and raised in Toledo, Ohio. So kind of Toledo is Detroit's little brother. When I go home to see mom and dad, I fly to Detroit. It's actually, I'm an Ohio State guy, not a Michigan guy, but the closest major city to me was Detroit. Kind of my dad's fault. I'm a Detroit fan. It's funny. My dad's a Detroit Pistons and Tigers fan. Just for whatever reason, he chose the Buccaneers, like I said, in the 70s as a Spanish team. Well, he took my brother and I to a game in the 80s. I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and he took us to a game in Detroit because they used to play in the same conference,
right,
same division.
Right.
And Barry Sanders went off and
ran over John Lynch probably then.
And I said, Dad, I'm a Detroit fan. And it stuck. And I joke that sometimes I say, unfortunately, it stuck because it's been rough. It's been a rough 30 years as a Detroit fan, but
still my biggest regret. I bumped Barry Sanders last year for Dana White to be on Media Row at Super Bowl.
It wasn't Dana White. It was the Twins.
Oh, yeah, it was the Griffin Twins. But I had to bump my idol, like the greatest
Johnny,
running back of all
we're,
time.
We're out of time. Thank you very much for coming down. Thank you for running through the barriers, you know, to get on. We do have some tickets. We will give it away to watch Johnny Bedford defend his title Friday night. This is Knockout Radio. We have been brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. We'll see everybody tomorrow, 2 to 4.
She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.